Hare Krishna. So welcome to today's Brahmotsav program. Very grateful to the temple management for giving me this opportunity for purification. And we are very grateful to Radha Gopinath Prabhu for giving this short lecture on various aspects including fundraising. How to do fundraising. Teaching, you should take seminars. And thankful to Shivaram Prabhu for such a beautiful singing of Gopinath Bhajan, completely applicable. So I have a plan. How many of you have been coming regularly for this Brahmotsav? Regular, every year. The most. So I am not going to repeat Radha Gopinath, Kal, Aaj aur Kal, aisa karyakram hai na aaj. Kal, Aaj aur Kal, aisa karyakram hai apna. So, we'll go through Kal. But, since we have been always hearing all those wonderful pastimes of how Radha Gopinath came here, so we are not going to go through all those details, just to make sure that all of you know these things. And recently I attended a course called as ISKCON Disciple Course, IDC, where there is an exam taken every now and then, and everyone passes. So, it's a MCQ. So, I'll just ask you only 5 questions and you'll all pass. Just to check whether you are with us. So, first question to all of you. When did Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple open? The choices: 8 July 1988, 11 July 1988, and Janmashtami of 1988. What is the answer? Huh? None of the above. So, somewhere, mostly 11 July 1988, somewhere 18 July 1988 was the correct answer. Second question, Prabhupada was predicted to in his childhood that he will build 108 temples. So is Radha Gopinath temple part of those 108 temples? Huh? No? Somewhere the history is wrong. Yes, because he actually built around 100 temples. And then some he said you build here. So one of them is Radha Gopinath. He came here to Bharati Vidya Bhavan and said we should have a temple here. So that's why it is part of those 108. Before Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple came in existence, before Sri Sri Radha Gopinath came here to stay, who were the residents of this place? Choices: yoga citizens, school children, coaching class students like my own and Bhola's classes, rats, giant rats, orphans, and all of the above. Wonderful. Last question. When did Radha Gopinath temple become an ISKCON temple? That means it was not. 18 July 1988, 1986, 1993. Wonderful. So all of you have got enough marks. This is just to make sure that we are on the same page, we have not missed the history so far. You have been attentive to all the stories which have been told by several devotees in the past. So now we'll go to how I see. See, Chaitanya Charitamrit, then Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, they tell the same story in different ways. Because they are different authors. So you may hear today some things which are from different perspective, that is perspective of Madhavananda Das. So don't be surprised if there are some kind of differences. So we are a success story. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple is a big success story. 30 years have passed, and after 30 years we have expanded in the number of devotees, in extension centers, the Govardhan Eco Village, the Prayag Project, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, the school, extensions like Nashik, Nigadi, Pune, Goa. Goa we stop because beyond that there is sea. And here we went up to Pune, then Belgaum, but beyond that again we stop because there is another ISKCON territory. So we have in ISKCON also there are territories. But otherwise we could have expanded. We could have gone in all directions. So when the success story happens, then all of us want to become part of it. Whenever there is some success story, everyone wants to become a part of it. But who made this very, very humble story in the beginning, not so attractive story in the beginning, a success story? Now that's my discussion today. So, Srila Prabhupada desired that he came for a program in Bharati Vidya Bhavan, then came out and he told his secretary Shyam Sundar Prabhu that this is a nice place, we should have a temple here. So that desire is sufficient. That's why I say it is part of those 108 temples, because he desired. And then because of that desire, he sent Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj here. He organized something that, you know, our group, as a group, many of you may not know, that we were expelled from ISKCON at a particular time for some reasons. And there is a group of devotees who are looking for a place. And we came here, Radhanath Swami came here. And then the DDs came, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, by their own mercy. And then, as an expert gardener, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj started a flower garden and started making a garland for Radha Gopinath of beautiful, beautiful flowers. And all those flowers are all of you, all the devotees, all the wonderful devotees. Brilliant, effulgent, beautiful, pure, fragrant. Such kind of garland was being made. But for making the garland, he needed some strings. So he got two strings. I'm becoming poetic. So he had two strings, one was white colored and one was saffron colored. And those two strings were His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu and His Grace Devamrita Prabhu. Because they were the ones who got people together. They were the ones who were the unseen hand behind every devotee's life. And that is what the culture and the mood of our temple has been. From the history we learn what is our culture, what is our mood. This temple Why it became such a good success story? Because there was a USP. What is that USP? In business they call it unique selling proposition. That means you have something which is no one else has. And what was our USP or unique service proposition? That was this kind of attitude which these two devotees showed to all of us. In the, as I told you, I attended this ISKCON Disciples course. So in that, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu told a very fantastic thing which really attracted me very much, and I thought that might be the kind of thought process which I can take up for this. He said, he asked a question to all of us. When Lord Krishna left this world, he left this world, he remembered somebody just before departure. Like somebody dies, somebody leaves this world, somebody remembers, I want to meet this person. Where is this person? That means you are very dear to him. So whom did he remember? Vidur. What was Vidur's qualification? Was he a big leader? Of course not. Did he fight a war? No. What was the qualification which Vidur had that Krishna had to remember him at the end of his leela? Because Vidur had helped the devotees, his dearmost devotees, the Pandavas, in every situation and protected them, nurtured them. And who told him to do that? No one. Krishna didn't tell him that, you go and help them. He just did it out of his own sense of duty, that I must do it on behalf of Krishna. And then he gave another example. Of course, Radha Gopinath Prabhu gave a wonderful example just now of Dukhi. Dukhi's qualification, what was her qualification? She was not a Kirtaniya, or she was not some scholar, she was not from some great family. She was an unknown person. Still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu singled her out and made her a very happy devotee. What was her qualification? That she was helping other devotees to serve the Lord without any expectations. And the third, in the life of Srila Prabhupada, just before he was departing from this world, again he remembered somebody. He called his secretary, removed his beautiful ring, and he gave it to the devotee and said, give it to X person. Who was that person? George Harrison. Why? Was he initiated? He was not initiated. Again, from ISKCON's hierarchy point of view or Varnashram point of view, he was no one. But what was his qualification? That he served his Prabhupada's, those three couples, those devotees, when they were homeless, they were sleeping in some pipelines or cardboard boxes. Sometimes they didn't have food, no money. At that time, he came forward, and who told him to do this? No one. Prabhupada didn't tell him to do that. He just did it out of again sense of duty towards these wonderful people, the wonderful devotees. And then he kept on giving to whatever extent he could, without any expectation of position or even initiation or any kind of expectation. So this is the mood which has set up this whole Radha Gopinath congregation. And that is why it has become a success story. In the Adi Purana, Lord Krishna, he is telling Arjun that one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. But one who is the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So this is the exact role which these two devotees Krishnachandra Prabhu and Devamrit Prabhu. Now he is Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj. They took this role. So I will speak a little bit about them. And then we will speak about some more devotees. We have about half an hour. So wherever we, after half an hour we will stop. So Krishnachandra Prabhu, he was again drawn into this whole thing. He was practically in everything. Wherever, whichever service you talk, he is there. But was he chairman? What was he? Temple president? Nothing. He just happened to be there. He wanted to serve. He wanted to give positions to somebody else. He wanted to glorify somebody else. So whether it is a medical camp of the Hare Krishna Medicos, that time we were known as, whether it was a marriage board, whether it was sweeping of the floor of the temple, whether it was cooking, wherever he was there with the devotees. I remember when first time he came to one of our camps, so he was supposed to participate in cooking. He didn't know, probably never he had gone to the kitchen. He's from an affluent family, aristocratic family. So no contact with the kitchen practically. So suddenly he was given a peeler and a potato. So he was very fascinated that the peeling can happen so easily. He was looking at it, wow. So that kind of mood he achieved. He slept with us on the floor of the village. And in spite of such kind of attitude, and in spite of having such a background, which is material background, materially he was very famous. But not many people knew that he is Mr. Mafatlal because of his attitude. I remember Dwarkadish Prabhu was telling me that, you know, once he was in some place and he was talking about how Radha Gopinath Prabhu temple is great because big people come here, and he said Mafatlal comes to our programs. He is coming to our temple. And the devotee said, Mafatlal, when does he come? Who is he? So then he took out his album and showed them, this is Mafatlal. He said, oh, this is Krishnachandra Prabhu. So this is the success. For him, this is the success. That he was unknown as Mr. Mafatlal. But he was known as Krishnachandra Prabhu, whoever, whether he was a brahmachari's parent, or a friend, or some devotee who is going from brahmachari ashram to grihastha ashram, some devotee relocating in the foreign lands, everywhere, and all of them, they were helped by him. So there was no project in which, an individual or a collective project, in which he was not involved. So this is the way that he served the congregation. Then we come to, so that is the greatness of this white thread. Then we come to Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj, that is Devamrit Prabhu. If you see what he has done so far, amazing things he has been doing. He has 450 acre land in near Belgaum called as Govinda Dham, and he has this big plan. Many things which he did, people still don't know what he is doing, how he is inspiring people. Now he has taken up some medical project. But before this happened, how was he in the temple? So when the Radha Gopinath temple started, we had many issues here because we had a very small group of brahmacharis. Not everyone was trained. And many issues. Srinathji Prabhu would sometimes come and become very angry. What is going on here? So people were, once he in fact asked, Srinathji Prabhu was a different person. He could question anyone. So he questioned Maharaj himself. He said, Maharaj, who is responsible for this, all this nonsense? And Maharaj, as he is Maharaj, he knows how to answer. He said, amazing answer he gave. He said, I am responsible. Actually, everything was going wrong. And still Maharaj took up that. He said, I am responsible. So in those kind of issues, one educated young man, very bright future, gold medalist from the management college. Because of him, that management college became famous. Literally, no jokes. Literally. After him, that management college graded itself up. People started taking admission there. He was so good. And then, with all that bright future, he decides, no, I want to be part of the solution. What's going on here, I want to be part of the solution. And he joined here. He joined here as a, we used to call them in those days as pantwale brahmachari. That means, there are brahmacharis who would stay in temple, dhoti, kurta, but he was also brahmachari, but pant and shirt. So in the temple, he would be in dhoti, kurta, and he goes for the job. So he would do job, come here, and help the devotees. So naturally, he was a very natural leader. But again, he didn't want to force upon anyone what to do. In fact, at that time, the temple president was Jagannath Puri Maharaj, Janeshwar Prabhu. Later on, he became Jagannath Puri Maharaj. And when Devamrita Prabhu would give lectures, I would attend. He would give, in pant shirt, he would give lecture right there in the corner. And Jagannath Puri Maharaj told me, I said, who is this person? I said, you don't know, listen to him. Hear him properly. He said, if I can take shelter of this person, this is when he is in pant and shirt and this is a sannyasi. He said, if I can take shelter of this person, my life would be successful. So I understood somebody very special. And then I also developed a good rapport with him. We were a very small family at that time. And one fine day, when he is trying to bring some order in the temple, some devotees complained that you cannot be a temple president or you cannot be in temple management by not being in the temple. You are working outside. And within a short time, I saw him seven-headed with saffron clothes. So I said, what happened to your job? He said, I have joined full time. And mind you, it was not easy because he was the only son of the parents. And because of that example, then later on, many only sons joined. Many of the only sons of the parents joined here. Including Shyamanand Prabhu, Sanat Kumar Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, all these were only sons. But they had a powerful example in Devamrita Prabhu. So such is the wonderful qualification of these wonderful devotees. And he had so much to do, so much management to do, so many issues to deal with. He didn't get any time in the daytime, but still he never compromised on his studying of the scriptures. He was a pandit. He is a pandit. So he would get up 3 a.m. in the morning, study the scriptures and be here for Mangalarti at 5 a.m. And then throughout the day he would be doing all the other things which are required for management, which are required for growing the temple. So, such personalities, two of them, They never took any positions. He was automatically given the position of temple president. But after some time he gave it up. He gave it up and wanted to do something else. Because he thought now there are qualified people, they can take up. And he was staying in the temple. And Srila Radhanath Maharaj then appointed 4 temple presidents. So unique again in ISKCON world, there are 4 temple presidents. Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Shamanand Prabhu, Sanat Kumar Prabhu and Govind Prabhu. But of course he would also say, whoever is the president, everyone knows who is the prime minister. So that was Devamrita Prabhu. Because no matter what these people did, he always had a very unseen hand in how the things went. So that was how he was seen as. But later on, he shifted his base from here to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And we have still a room there where he would stay there. And a lot of our policies and the way we function have come because of him. And so we are very, he is our person, Bhaktivedanta Hospital's person. For example, when we began, so a lot of opinions would come on how to conduct the hospital. And we had planned that we will be a holistic hospital. That means we will be for body, mind and soul. So naturally we had planned prayer rooms. So Mahabuddhi Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, he had come. Prahladanand Maharaj had come. All of them had given various opinions on how to go about it. So most of the people said we should have three major religions prayers room. So there was a Christian prayer room, there was a Muslim prayer room, and there was a Hindu prayer room and a temple. This was the original plan. But then this person, that is Devamrita Prabhu, he objected. And even Radhanath Maharaj said this is okay. But this person was objecting. And I was supposed to deal with this. Somebody is objecting, somebody is saying go on with this. So I would try to convince him, then try come back here and give his arguments. So one day ultimately it came to the point that now they have to come and face each other. So Radhanath Swami and Devamrita Prabhu. Contest. Whether 3 rooms or 1 room. That means Devamrita was very convinced that we have to have a Vaishnava hospital. There is no question of any other religion. Nothing else will happen here. He was saying even Ganesh Chaturthi will not be celebrated here. We are pure Vaishnava hospital. That was his very strong stand. So one day then Maharaj and Bhakti Rasamana, they are in front of each other and I am in between. And we are discussing. And both are arguing with each other. Maharaj is saying, we are a hospital, we are not a ISKCON temple. So all religions will come. So they should have their own prayers and that will really give a very secular kind of a big, broad-minded approach to our Prabhupada's movement through this hospital. A very solid argument. And Prahladan Maharaj also feels like this. And Mahabuddhi Prabhu feels like this. So many people. And then Devam Prabhu also started. But they have their own prayer places. This is a Vaishnava hospital. It is based on Vaishnava principles. They are arguing very solidly. And after a lot of back and forth argument, I was naturally trying to take side of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So I was trying to convince Devamrita Prabhu that why don't you understand what Maharaj is saying? And suddenly, these are all leelas. So suddenly, Radhanath Swami Maharaj says, no, we will be a Vaishnava hospital.
So I started looking at him. I said, Maharaj, just now you are arguing something else. And he said, no, I have decided to take side of Devamrita Prabhu. So this personality was like that. He had solid convictions, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. But again, I'm coming to that point, like how Vidur and George Harrison, what was their qualification of trying to serve the devotees? One day I was in his room, he was staying on the fifth floor where Radha Gopinath Prabhu stays now and Shyamananda Prabhu. And he was on the phone for quite some time. I'm just waiting outside. He's on phone talking back and forth, walking. And after he finished, I then asked him, so he was doing like this. So I said, Maharaj, what's happening? He said, I'm getting severe headache. So I said, why don't you drop the phone? Man, just stop the... So then he told me that, you know, actually I'm dealing with something which is very important and I cannot stop because this is going on for last 2-3 hours I'm on phone. So I said, what is the issue? Can I know what is such a issue? So you know, there is a family of devotees. They all are wonderful devotees. But you know, they are all father, son, those kind of things. But they are quarreling with it so much. They beat each other. The father beats the son beats the father. So it's very dangerous. So I'm trying to sort it out on phone. I said, Maharaj, why are you trying to help such people who don't know how to deal with each other as Vaishnavas? No, but they are still chanting their Vaishnava, so I need to help them. So he kept on trying to, you know, sort of solve the situation on phone. And he did not give up on such people. So these are the qualifications which made him very dear to all of us, all the devotees. And that's how, step by step, more and more and more and more devotees joined. So these two were the even now, the unseen thread on which all the flowers, all the wonderful devotees, flower-like devotees, fragrant devotees, they have been woven. And a beautiful garland for Radha Gopinath has been woven by Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Then I would spend some time on another devotee. You know, Prabhupada is known in ISKCON today as that Senapati Bhakta, about whom Nityananda Prabhu spoke, that there will be Senapati Bhakta who will come and create a worldwide movement of the Sankirtan of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So when these garlands are being made and there is a nice atmosphere, very beautiful atmosphere for Radha Gopinath is being created internally. There is hard realities outside and somebody has to deal with those hard realities. And for that you need a different kind of personality. And that Senapati Bhakta for Radha Gopinath temple was His Grace Srinath Ji Prabhu. So Srinath Ji Prabhu was like that Senapati. He knew how to shelter all of us, being protected from outside very dangerous influences. He is the one who was actually the main force behind how Maharaj could develop this whole institute of Radha Gopinath Temple. Remember that when Radha Gopinath was being installed, I told you there were so many types of residents were around here. The school was there, the classes were there. As they see, yoga citizens were there. So many people would be here. And amongst those, this hall and one room down, that was the only thing where we were allowed. And still when Radha Gopinath came, Maharaj in his lecture, he said, now this property, this place belongs to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and no one can ever remove him from here. So I was thinking, how does he say this? This is a temporary place. I knew that there was a Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage Trust here. This whole property belongs to the trust. On what basis is he saying this? Later on I realized, now we realize that actually Maharaj was saying this with a complete confidence in one of his associates, that was Srinathji Prabhu, that he will do it, he will achieve it. Even though at that time we had this hall and just one room and maybe a small orphanage down there in our possession. So Srinathji Prabhu also has played that very strong role in the development of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple. And you require that kind of personality for that. Remember one time, right here, we were having the class around 5 p.m. in the evening. So some of us, maybe 30, 40 of us are chanting here. Maharaj is playing harmonium. I don't remember, maybe Satyavrat Prabhu was playing the mridanga and 2-3 devotees were playing kartal, and there were some people standing there in the corner and they were doing their yoga. And suddenly Maharaj was in such a mood, the kirtan became so roaring, huge sounds started coming just from those 40 people. So naturally there is a school, there are classes. And the manager from the classes, he came here, hey, what is going on? So I felt very afraid that now something will go wrong, because these people will take some action on this loud sound. And all of us, we felt that we should stop here. But Srinathji Prabhu got up and he said, just continue, I'll come. So from this side, he just went out and that person went. And what he spoke, I don't know, but he within few minutes he came back here. And the kirtan went on, then the class happened. And at the end, when I was about to go, then I saw that this person, that same manager, was very angry. He came and, Dr. Desai, please forgive me, please forgive me. I said, what is this change? This... So I understood that Srinathji Prabhu had such powers and he knew when to use and where to use his power. So for what he had told, we don't know. But that person was completely, he was like a small cat in front of Srinathji Prabhu. That was his power. Of course, we had a very unique relationship with each other. I always admired him and always had heard so many things from him about Srila Prabhupada. But we had one thing common between two of us. And that is, we had a Yamaduta club. That means he had seen Yamaduta and I had seen Yamadutas. So we had good, we used to always discuss. He would always say, Kamlok Dono, we are Yamaduta club. So I had seen for myself Yamadutas coming. He had seen Yamadutas coming for somebody else in the hospital. But all that Srinathji Prabhu's role has been very nicely described so far by so many devotees. I am not going to take much time, but suffice to say that without Srinathji Prabhu's intervention, today we would not have such a beautiful temple which is going on. He had that complete conviction that I must do it. And he did it. Somehow or other, he managed that Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple gets completely established here. Now also, before his departure, he started developing the Prayag project, the skill development, so many things in Govardhan Eco Village. Now his son Keshav Prabhu and his wife Maithili Priya Mataji, they are helping in the same thing. So we are very grateful to Srinathji Prabhu, who was our Srinapati Bhakta. Wonderful, dashing, dynamic personality. Even he would give class, no one would dare to ask him questions because he would put the person on the spot. Whatever, whoever asked the question, he would turn around the question. Whatever challenging questions were there, he would turn it around on him. So now, I will end with just remembering one more devotee. We should remember because that's our culture. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's USP is that we are devotees of devotees. Bhakton ke bhakta hain log. We are Radha Gopinath's servants, and as their servants, we are devotees of his devotees. That's the prevailing mood of our temple. And that is the actually unique service proposition. And in that same mood, we would like to pray for the departed soul of Satyavrata Prabhu. He was our first pujari, the head pujari of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple. I don't know how many of you have seen him. How many of you have seen Satyavrata Prabhu? Not many. Quite a few people have seen him. But he was a wonderful mridanga player, very simple-hearted devotees. And he went to our Badrinath Yatra, and then during that Yatra, accident took place and his bus fell down in the Himalayan cliffs, and that's where he passed away on the pilgrimage. So we also pray for him on this day, Brahmotsava, remembering him as the first pujari of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And in that mood, I would like to end here saying the same thing, that this is our uniqueness. This is the cause of our success story. Whatever success we have achieved is because of His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj. We are very eternally indebted to Him. And these two devotees, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj and Krishna Chandra Prabhu, who have been always unseen in development of this temple, and our Senapati Bhakta, that is Srinathji Prabhu, and our head pujari of the first head pujari, that is Satyavar Prabhu. So thank you all for listening very carefully and giving me a chance to share whatever I felt of sharing today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.